Right now, it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim joins us every week at this time, just about every week at this time. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, sports, brings over 40 years of experience to these subjects and more, and we welcome him in every Tuesday morning. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning. How is your canoe?
My canoe is fine, but I'm not using it. I said it's earlier on this morning. I always remember going to school and my grandmother and my mother saying, depending on the severity of the weather, put your galoshes on. Most people nowadays probably don't know what galoshes are. And B, put your boots on, or C, if it was wintertime, they used to bundle me up and I looked like a bowling ball with arms and legs. You could tell what the weather was going to be by what my mother and grandmother used to dress me in the morning.
Well, the little weatherman.
Yeah, now I've got
Giants win.
Hey, the Giants won. It's a start. And you know what? I'm addicted to Eli and Peyton Manning on Monday nights. Their broadcast of football is so much better than regular broadcasts. They bring on guests. They have fun. They explain plays as they happen and ramifications. So if you haven't seen it and you watch Monday Night Football, switch from the regular ESPN channel to the next one, Jim, and you'll have yourself some fun watching the Manning brothers go to town.
Okay.
A little bit of advice.
You know, I guess Archer's other son.
Yeah.
One of the boys' sons is really doing well down there. The young Manning, 17-year-old in high school.
Now, there's another one in the pipeline. That's right. Went from Archie to Peyton and to Eli, and now there's another one in the pipeline. A friend of mine got a letter, Jim, and I want to ask you about this. It came from Bank of America, and this is what the top of the letter says. We've made the decision to resign as custodian and will be closing your RRA effective 10/27/21. Now, he received this letter a couple of days ago. We want to make sure you understand how this change affects you as well as the options available in handling your assets. What the hell does this mean?
They're saying that canceling your IRA?
Amazing. It's amazing. And
well,
what I do,
there's got to be more fine print than is in that letter. Depending on I'd speak to a friendly lawyer and have them just call the bank and say, hey, what's going on here?
Here's their options they gave him. Option one, transfer your securities. Option two, sell your securities.
See, there's something here that it's the first time I've heard of this type of thing. Occasionally, a bank will transfer portfolios to another entity. But, in this day of scams and so forth, I get a lawyer on it, or if you're diligent enough, get on the phone and make them give you chapter and verse and put it in writing, describing much more adequately what you've just mentioned generally. I've not heard of this.
All right. Well, I just thought I'd throw it out there at you. And another story that I want to bring to your attention, and I've said this all along, there's a lot of ways you can buy a car, dealers, used dealers, new dealers. There's also online dealers that have been around for a while, like Hertz and CarMax and stuff like that, and I think it's Cars Guru. But I've always had in the back of my mind this distrust for this company called Carvana. And the reason I've had that distrust is because they formed their own bank. They sell cars to people that can't afford to buy them, kind of like the housing crisis that happened years and years ago. And they take those cars back. But now the Wall Street Journal, and this is why we need a strong media. The Wall Street Journal opened up an investigation, and it started off with complaints against Carvana. And those complaints regarded incorrect paperwork, delays giving titles and registrations, And the most alarming that I saw of this made by people related to documents that they needed for registration purposes. In those cases, Carvana did not send the documents, which meant the buyers were unable to drive their cars and, of course, created frustration. Other people are seeing what their interest rates are and their payments, and they might buy a $16,000 car, which sounds like a good price. By the time they're finished paying for it, it's almost a $70,000 car. I think, you know, this is something that not only the newspaper, I think the government has to look into Carvana, because the guy who heads up Carvana, the CEO, has gotten in trouble in the past for fraud, and this would be fraud on the biggest of scales.
Incredible. You know, you were right on this one, and also you were right on in terms of the housing area. It's shown up now that more of these companies that have been stockpiling houses are kind of getting overwhelmed with supply. And again, it comes back to easy money. When there's easy money for too long a period of time, people develop schemes, and that's what you have here.
Well, it's, you know, it's the whole thing, and it goes back, Jim, to before my time and before your time. If it looks too good to be true, stay away from it.
Amen. Amen. There are too many other worthwhile things to do with your investing funds or with your disposable income than getting involved with something that is will just be a headache. And God knows there's enough headaches around.
Well, it's speaking about headaches, President Biden has just rejected 9 more executive privilege claims by former President Donald Trump. This is becoming quite an embarrassing and important segment now in the history of American politics and presidential politics.
It is very embarrassing and gets more embarrassing. I guess you've read or heard that Trump is going to do a takeoff on Twitter in terms of having people subscribe to his Truth station, and there's a company called Digital, I can't remember the last name, Digital something Communications, that basically is he's using that for financing the stock for this thing. It's called an SPAC, which is not like a regular stock. It's a company that goes and buys a lot of little different companies. And there's been a tremendous amount of interest in it. It's gone up a lot. And if anybody mentions it to you, turn the page and walk away. It's another Trump scam. And back to this thing on the executive privilege. Joe Biden, I know he's got a lot on his plate, but he is the president of the United States. And it's not politics. He has got to weigh in on these people who are lying to Americans about the election and about everything under the sun. More decisive action must be taken either by Biden or the Attorney General to clamp down on all of this misinformation, which is causing deaths, loss of money, loss of work, loss of sleep. Now, we have the Committee on the Insurrection. Well, I'm sorry, I'm really getting a little impatient. I want to see more people in the dock being investigated. I want to start seeing some more information about what went on from that committee. Now, Rolling Stone, as we know, has done a big piece in terms of the meetings that took place before January 6th at the Willard Hotel in Washington, D.C. Bannon, Trump, the whole band was there on January 5th and 6th, communicating, planning, and so forth. A lot of these people have a name now who are in Congress, several of them, for instance, from Arizona. But we've got to get them out more in the open from a congressional government level. That's what the government is for, to regulate the way we're working, the way we're doing things. And we cannot continue to allow this insurrection information to flow in terms of, well, it's not over yet, and we're planning this and we're planning that. I would suggest we write our Congress and Senate people and tell them, let's get going on this. Because it's very, very demoralizing to people who are trying to find information, and then they find out that Facebook has been basically placating advertisers, the right wing, etc., in terms of its dealings. A lot more to come from Facebook. It's the solution is long, long, long term away, but free enterprise is one thing, but you can't be lying to the public. And Facebook is a public company. The SEC can regulate it. The Treasury Department has something to say. So we need more government supervision and action. And it's so strange to see people saying, oh, don't take away my freedom. I'm not going to get a vaccine. The point is, we need a government to regulate our society so we don't stumble all over ourselves and cause a lot of harm.
You know, it's interesting what Facebook is going through now, as they are really, what a lot of people are focusing in on, the spread of misinformation that it allows. And it goes back to my initial statement, Jim, and that is that for far too long, major networks, CBS, NBC, ABC, you name it, the AP, Reuters, and they cut back on expenses. They cut back on having bureaus all over the place, and they cut back on investigative reporting. In the case of American television, they did it because programming was so expensive. But now, with almost every major network putting on these programs that they don't have to pay writers, all these live reality TV shows and dancing shows and shows like that, these networks now have the money to rebuild their infrastructure and put more qualified, true reporters on the street, because this is the only way. If major news organizations go back, it includes newspapers and radio and includes television, and put reporters on the street that don't only report stories, but investigate and delve deep into stories, this is what this country needs to get out of this fiasco of people thinking that Facebook and social media is a legitimate news source.
Along those lines, there was a great a documentary, actually the first one that George Clooney produced on PBS, about Edward R. Murrow and his taking on Joe McCarthy, the irascible senator from Wisconsin, during the McCarthy witch hunt of supposed communists. It's a beautiful piece. It shows, it's an example of the hard-hitting reporting you're talking about. Some of it is acting, but there are tapes of McCarthy and of the hearings and what was going on. And what you've just described is in this piece, and that is what we need. Also, though, I caution us, because there is a hedge fund, I can't remember the name right now, that has basically bought at least 50 to 100 newspapers throughout the country, basically cuts back on employees and expenses and so forth. Basically, it's set up, I believe, to put out a very homogenized product that will probably be right-wing oriented. So we really must pay attention. We cannot accept news without checking it out, and we've got to become more independent in our thinking. if you agree with, if you, you constantly are going to a source, I don't care who it is, New York Times, Post, Fox, whoever, but you're constantly going there and getting all your information from one source, that isn't good. Nowadays, it's too easy to cross-check things if you put the effort in. And, you know, this is not going to change overnight. We have to work at this, and I think Marshall's point is correct. The media people themselves will be working on it because we'll be finding that more and more, more people are going to be looking for news, the right, the real news, the factual news.
I think the more people, you know, if, I guess I was lucky enough to be born early enough where my parents read great investigative reporting from the newspapers. And you go back to Edward Murrow. If it wasn't for Murrow, the debacle that was happening with people being accused of being communists would have run just absolutely crazy, kind of like things that go on today. So a strong independent media, and yes, folks, I'll even say, yes, if you want to have a conservative media there, we've had conservative media be strong and independent over the years. And they've delivered true, accurate news, and it's been different than the liberal media. So we've had that for years. I want to go to something that touches me on a daily basis. Every day, about every 2 days, gasoline goes up 2 to 5 cents a gallon around here. There's a problem in getting certain things into stores because of delivery. And I think one of the first things we're starting to see finally is jobless claims now for 2 months have been down. Two periods in a row as people, those benefits have run out. They're going back to work. But Jim, when are we ever going to learn that if we want these people to go back to work post-pandemic, we're going to have to, instead of paying people who work in restaurants, instead of having them rely on tips, we're going to have to start paying them. We're going to have to start paying people to go back to work to the value they need to live and to live post-pandemic. I mean, it's a very simple economic equation.
You're right on. It's something that should happen and must happen. And it's twofold. One, by giving people what they're worth and not getting away with as little as you can and paying them, you will find a stronger workforce, a better workforce. You'll find an economy that will have a little zip in its step. And also, bottom line, it will get at the wage injustice, the inequality that has been building, particularly in the last 5 to 10 years, that's been building in terms of big corporations and their thousands, hundreds of thousands of employees. We've heard it now many, many times. When you look at a CEO and the multiple, be it a couple hundred times that they make versus the average employee, that is very, very discouraging to people. But more importantly, it's very unfair. And long term, it will hurt businesses because of the situation we're going through right now. You give people enough time to think about it. You give people time to say, well, God, I get up at 6 in the morning and I come home at 8 at night and they want me to work on Saturday and this, that, and the other thing. People woke up during this pandemic that the quality of their life in the workplace was not what it was supposed to be. And so they have, one, just said, no, I'm taking time off, take care of the kids and my wife. Two, I'll go somewhere else and do something better. Or three, maybe I'll move out of the area. But people basically are taking action. And the action has been forced, not so much by the pandemic. The pandemic just gave people a chance to think about it. But by the employers, the big corporations. I read the other day where I believe it was Amazon was firing somebody for some little infraction. these things are coming up. You know, the corporations have risen to a position of monarchy, and we've got to put a little bit of a bootstrap on them to get them back to reality. This country was built by the middle class. It wasn't built by the Rockefellers who had the money to invest. It was physically built by hundreds of thousands and millions of people over the years who got up every day, put in their work, were glad they did a good job, came home, was satisfied they had a decent wage, was able to begin saving a little money for a house or for college for a child or whatever. Those days, they've been really, really... we're going in the wrong direction. And hopefully all this stuff going on in this country, where there's so much bickering and so forth, that we're going to come out of this with maybe some solutions. I certainly hope so. I'm not overly optimistic. It's hard to be optimistic in this environment.
Well, we only have a minute, and I want to just pass along this headline to folks out there and to you. And this is something that explains the type of times we're in. Elon Musk now has a net worth of over $300 billion, okay? Now listen to this. His net worth is now more than the market value of ExxonMobil. He's not the only millionaire.
Okay.
He's not the only millionaire that's this big. There's some good news in that, and there's some bad news in that. Our economy and the way the middle class is viewed, and the upper class and lower class, is really not headed in a good direction.
Absolutely correct. And we've got to write that. We've got to write it quickly. If we are going to be competitive with the world, we have got to take care of the people that make the trucks go, the lights get turned on. It is so abominable that other nations pay $14,000 a year to families for child care. This country pays $500, the richest country on earth. Aren't we as government officials, corporate heads, embarrassed by this? But if you want to just talk economics, this is going to continue to bite the economy and bite certain corporations.
Jim, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, even on a windy, rainy day.
I love it. You know, I was really looking forward to your call. I said, that dude, he'll be in there. He'll be in the station. How's the house coming?
All the trees are now completely gone that have fallen, so we're safe and sound, and I still have to replace my stove, but that should arrive by Friday.
Okay.
All right,
great.
Jimbo, okay. I'll speak to you
have
next week.
Have a good week. Stay safe up there.
Take care. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio.